That's a good spiritual warm-up this morning. And behold, he comes. And that's exactly what the scriptures say. He is coming in the cloud one day. And we don't know when that day or time will be, but we do know that we're to be ready and be occupied in the Lord's work till he comes. And so we want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church this morning and say it's good to see each and every one of you as I try to catch my voice. And it's good, so good to see you. And the Lord has blessed us this weekend with some good and much needed rain. And I like what Brother Allen said during choir practice this morning. He said, "How'd you enjoy your rainy day yesterday?" And what a blessing that is. And then to see the sun shining today, God knows what we need, and we appreciate what the Lord does. I want to encourage you to pick up a bulletin this morning and to just stay in tune and in touch of what's all going on around here. We have some things going on. We have Fall Festival coming up, and a few words will be said about that here shortly. And but at the same time, next Sunday night, we have deacon ordination taking place, and looking forward to that. And at the same time, November 3rd, which I believe is the following Sunday, thereabouts, so Sunday morning, November the 3rd, we're going to have a couple baptisms. And two of our new members are joining by baptism, and Greg and Sandra Smith. And so we're excited about that, baptizing them, husband and wife, you know, together. And they've been saved and baptized, but this is a new beginning for them. And they're excited about their new church, and we love them. And it's a joy and an honor to do that. And that's November the 3rd. And, of course, we have our annual Thanksgiving get-together, church-wide dinner. That's coming up on the 26th of November on Tuesday. And, of course, Christmas time is around the corner. We have the tree lot. And those who are interested in working with that, come see me, see Brother Brian when he's back, and some others. That's right around the corner. I did want to mention this as well while we're talking about Christmas. Last year we had a Christmas communion, and I can't really remember about the year before that, but we're going to continue that and have Christmas communion this year as well. And so a lot of things are taking place here at Calvary, and we're busy for the Lord, and that's how we want to be. And that is busy doing what he wants us to do, not just busy. I want to mention a few things this morning, and then we're going to pray, and then Brother Rusty is going to come around, and he's going to present our mission moment for the month. And so let's remember Brother Don Nettles this morning. He got word just a bit ago that he sneezed, he passed out, and then he hit his head. And so he's at the urgent care right now, and Miss Yvonne has him there, so let's pray for him this morning. Remember Brother Brian. He is away today, but he actually himself fainted this past week, fell, hit his head, hit his ear, and had to get stitched up. And so let's remember Brother Brian, and as to why he's fainting is the important thing there. So let's remember him. Let's remember Miss Savannah Matt and the Matt family, the Tidwells, some health issues going on there. And let's remember that. Miss Chris Watkins shared with me the other day that maybe her second cousin somewhere down in the family line, Miss Billy Ferguson, 90 years old, had a surgery, heart surgery, I believe it was, in that general area, with a 25% chance to live, and she did. She lived. And 90 years old, being a survivor. And so we praise the Lord for that. Amen. And just a few more things. Miss Glenda Henderson, her niece Lindsay, of course, she had a newborn. Newborn went home to be with Jesus, and her services was on Friday. Let's remember the family there with that. Miss B.J. Williams had surgery, and she's with us, and she's doing better. Let's remember Miss Norma and Cassie Karanovich. Let's remember them in the in-home hospice care. Let's remember the McCrickards with Brother Arnold. I believe we've gotten a couple more negative results from some testing he had done. Of course, he has the aneurysm and the mass in his kidney, but just several things going on there with Brother Arnold, one of our shut-ins. Let's remember him. Just two more things. I want to say thank you to the church for the beautiful card, the kind words, the love gift that was there for Pastor Appreciation. It is a joy, and I mean this. It is a joy. It is an honor, and it is a privilege to serve you. I don't have to come to church. I don't have to preach. I look at it that I get to. I get to. You know, like Paul said, talking about that being the chief of all sinners, and God chose him to carry the gospel. Paul was so tickled because of that, and so am I. It's an honor, and it's a joy to serve you, and I hope in years to come that you would know our hearts even more and that we would just continue to grow together is my prayer. And then a deacon's meeting right after service, 10 or 15 minutes to cover some things concerning our ordination, and that'll be it for this afternoon course. I'll leave the other stuff to mention to Brother Allen. I'm about out of breath already. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you, Lord. Just take a time out and say thank you for everything that you have done in all of our lives individually. And Lord, we thank you for what you have done, even at Calvary. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing in our lives individually. We thank you for what you are doing here at Calvary. And Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in our lives individually. We thank you for what you're going to do here at Calvary, Lord. If I know anything about Jesus, I know that I can sense that he's moving here. He is slowly and assuredly confirming hearts. God, there is a spirit of unity, and we're so very thankful for that. And Lord, man has his plans and man has his way, but the answer from the tongue is from the Lord. And God, we know ultimately and providentially, God, you lead your dear children along. Some through the mountains, some through the valleys, some through the floods, but all through the blood, as the song says, you lead your dear children along. Sometimes it's green pastures, sometimes it's still waters, sometimes, Lord, it's through the heaviness of life, sometimes it's seasons of joy and gladness. But we're thankful that no matter what season we're in, there is an unseen hand that guides us. There's an unseen hand that leads us and that is extended to us. That at any time, we can reach up and you'll lift us up. We're thankful for that. We love you, Father. We pray for all these requests. Brother Don, we pray for him. Miss Lindsay's family, pray for her. And Brother McCrickard and his physical elements he's going through. Norma and Cassie, Lord. And the list is just goes on and on. And we pray for all of them, Lord, and all of their healing and all of their spiritual lives, Lord. We pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done, for who you are, and for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Rusty's going to come around with our mission moment.
Our mission moment is what you've been hearing about last couple of weeks. WDCY Radio, we've talked about them, you've heard them up here. Well, we have taken them on as one of our missionaries to support. And now that we're supporting them, we as the church need to be praying for them. A little bit about the WDCY radio. You got a picture behind you. Its directors are three local pastors that go through it. They signed on as a Christian radio ministry in 1993. And the purpose of their ministry is to reach out with the gospel, the Great Commission, which is found in Matthew. They're part of the World Christian Broadcasting Organization, which is located in Douglasville. They also own and operate Church Supply Outlet, So if you need something, Bibles, Sunday school, vacation Bibles, they run that out of Douglasville. And one thing about it that some of you may know or heard or may not know, that several of our members have been affiliated with WDCY. Brother Barry was with them. I found out this morning that Miss Jackie worked with them for a while. Brother Allen and Brother Randy Maddox. So there's more to this than we know. We'll have these in the back if you want to pick one of these up to keep in your Bible for prayer, but that's our mission moment.
If you could put that clip back up there that was just there. That gentleman there is Brother Ford Berry. That was my father-in-law. Amen. Went home to be with the Lord a little over 6 years ago. He was a member here at the church, and Miss Betty's still a member here. He retired from WDCY, served there for many years. He loved the Lord, and he loved gospel music, and he was quite the character. He was also a great writer. Yeah, quite the character. We get a lot of amens there. But he was also quite the writer. He was known as, and he always signed his writings, TPP, which was the Phantom Poet. And I want to just share one of those with you this morning, which was the last one that Brother Ford wrote just before his passing. And it was entitled, Left the Building. When life down here is over and my time on earth is done, the battle for me has ended, my race here I have run. When you are viewing my body and you are looking down at me, I will probably be lying there wishing you knew what I could see. Don't look at me with pity or think of me with sorrow. Just keep fighting the good fight. Remember, there's a better place tomorrow. When I have gone to that better place and questions about my absence you are fielding, tell them with a smile on his face that TPP has left the building. He was well-loved, and again, he loved the Lord, loved the church, and was a great part of WDCY, a great father-in-law to me. Thank you, church. I love you. If you will, turn with me to page number 120, and let's all stand. Choir, if you'll stand with me. Church, if you'll stand, and let's sing about the victory that we have in Jesus this morning. Page 120. First and the last. Everyone sing now.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing. the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it's so good to see you this morning. If you're visiting with us, you are a special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. Looks like everyone's home, folks. If not, we've already claimed you as that. And we do thank you for being here with us this morning. Some are not able to be here because of sickness, and we do want to remember them in prayer, as we do have a very lengthy prayer request list. So let's please remember them. Always let's remember those that are shut-ins and unable to be here. Let's please remember all them always. But let's also, I believe Amanda has an announcement for us considering our fall festival.
Yeah, our fall festival is this coming Saturday. We'll start at 5 o'clock. We're going to have games and food and fellowship. And as the sun goes down, we're going to be showing a movie out there on a big blow-up screen. So I just hope everyone will come and bring a friend with you. As much as we want to fellowship together, we would love to have an outreach and bring some people in to our church. So if you haven't signed up for something on the sign up sheet, I think we're good with soups and chilies. We could use a few more cakes for the cakewalk. So if you want to bring a cake for that, and we also need a few desserts for us to eat that day too, to go with our chili and stuff. And if you would like to give any, just a little bit of donation, if you want to help out that way, you can still give it to me or Miss Lynn. I think we've pretty much got everything we need. We have just a few little things to still get. So that I just hope that you'll come and enjoy. And like I said, if you'll bring some kids, bring some adults, bring some friends, bring a friend with you to a free movie. You know, you can't beat that. And we're hoping the weather holds off, so just pray that it will. And also bring a chair with you, because when we start the movie, we'll just sit in a chair and you might need a blanket. So we look forward to seeing everyone then.
It is Georgia. You never know what kind of weather you might have for next weekend. So you might want to bring a blanket with you. It is be a great time. Who can pass up a free meal and a free movie? Amen? And a free time of fellowship. So it would be a great time. Do bring someone with you. It will be a great outreach for our community, and that's what we're looking forward to. Again, so please remember that. And please don't forget about today, 4 o'clock, ladies, COU. Guys, Brotherhood, 4 o'clock this afternoon, and then immediately following that will be choir practice. If you've been praying about becoming a member of the choir, it'd be a great time for you to be here. I would say it'd be somewhere around 5 o'clock. But again, COU and Brotherhood at 4, so please remember that. Our speaker standing right down here, go ahead and raise your hand out there. Please pray for him. I know he'd appreciate your prayers, and everyone who might be speaking for the ladies, I'm sure that she would appreciate your prayers as well. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask Him to be with us this morning. Bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Pray for Pastor this morning. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. Amen. It's kind of like the ladies. The ladies have a birthday anymore. It's their birthday month. Amen. But it's Pastor Appreciation Month, so we want to pray for him. Of course, every day should be a time that we pray for our pastor. But let's lift him up in prayer. Ask the Lord to be with him this morning. Brother Charlie Woodson, would you lead us as we pray?
Speak to them. you tired and distressed, weary, sad, in need of rest. There are storms we must walk through. They won't last, they never do. Turn left or right, but straight ahead, the cross in sight. He will guide you safely o'er to where troubles come no more.
Praise the Lord this morning. I want to take a second. Maybe someone has a brief word of testimony on their heart. We're not pushing or pulling. Go ahead, Miss Sharon.
One life to live, and whatever we do for Christ is
Amen. I know somebody has something to say. Let's go.
Yesterday, we had a family reunion, and we had down in the fellowship hall for my mom's side of the family. She had 10 siblings, and of those 10, 5 have already went on to be with the Lord. But my uncle is the oldest of the siblings that are still alive, and he is 90. And he was a missionary in the Philippines for 40 years. And after we had all started eating, he stood up and he said, you know, he had something to say to everybody. And he started talking, and he says he's retired. But we got a little short preaching sermon yesterday. And it was wonderful because he had told my other uncle he wanted to have that done. Because he says, I don't think I'll last another year. You know, I mean, he's 90 years old, but you'd have never known it by listening to him talk about the Lord and everybody's salvation and how good the Lord had been to him and his wife all those years. She's gone on to be with the Lord. But listening to him talk, at his age, he had so much enthusiasm. He was so happy to have worked for the Lord all those years.
Amen.
And it was an absolute blessing to hear him talk. And I think if we all felt like he did, phew, at the things we could do.
Amen. Appreciate those two testimonies.
Brother Justin.
Go ahead, brother.
A lot of you in here come on Wednesday nights. I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that aren't coming, you're missing a blessing.
Amen.
Okay? This man right here, our preacher, he prepares for Wednesday nights just like he does for Sunday morning and Sunday night. Okay? 1 hour, maybe, in the middle of the week. We've all got time for other things. But 1 hour on Wednesday nights. You need to come hear this man talk and teach and talk to us and preach to us and teach us about the Lord. Because I'm telling you right now, those of you that are not coming, you're missing a blessing.
Amen.
Okay? You've always heard about the backbone of your church is Wednesday night crowd. Well, won't you come be a part of the backbone of this church and what this man and his family are trying to do for our church and our families.
Amen. 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 God bless you. Appreciate that. Anybody else?
Brother Justin, I just want to thank the Lord for saving me and thank the Lord for my church. It's been a rough week for my family.
Yeah.
And but the Lord was with us all the way.
Amen.
And you could just feel His presence. There's no answer in why, but I just felt the Lord's presence everywhere, and I understand what Lindsay's going through to a degree.
Yeah.
You know, it's all different.
Yeah.
But I appreciate my church praying for us and supporting us, and I just praise the Lord for His presence, His love, His mercy, and His grace. Without it, I couldn't be here, and I couldn't make it every day.
Amen. Appreciate that word.
Amen.
Say this past Wednesday night we had 29 here. That was a blessing. Thank you, Miss Glenda, for that testimony. And good to see Miss Nancy Carden with us this morning. That's a blessing. Don't want to cut anybody off, but Brother Harold.
Praise the Lord for all He's done for me. Give Him all the credit and the honor that He deserves.
myself too, because I know I need to keep my community with him straight in order for him to hear all the others. So I want to praise God for all he's done for me over the years.
Amen, brother.
Thank you for that.
Amen. We love you, Brother Harold. You're in all of our prayers daily. All right. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. Quickest draw I know. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 4 is going to be our starting point this morning. And I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read verse number 4 out of Ephesians 2. Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're thankful for these testimonies. Lord, what a challenge some of the testimonies have been for the church. And also, Lord, what a joy these testimonies have been, Lord, of your presence being with us during the dark times. And we praise you, Lord, for being with us in the good times, dark times, good times, all times. We're thankful. We pray for the next few moments, Lord, that you would guide us, lead us, help us to rightly divide your word. Holy Spirit, communicate it, I pray, to the hearts of your people. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Notice with me verse number 4. Y'all hear singing, or am I getting ready to go to heaven?
I heard it.
Okay. Ephesians, chapter number 2, verse number 4. Let's try to take care of that however we can. I'm easily distracted. Ephesians 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. I want to take a moment and call our attention to the fact that when it comes to God's Word, every jot and every tittle is there for a purpose. Amen. When it comes to reading God's Word and absorbing God's Word day in and day out, it's inspired of God and it's there for a reason. Every jot and every tittle. Matthew 5 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now this morning, a jot is basically a dot above a little line. And that's how we get the letter I, the lowercase I. It's called a jot. It's a dot above a stroke of the pen. And then a tittle is exactly that. It's a stroke of the pen. You would make a line vertically, and then horizontally you would stroke it, and then that would create the letter T. So we know according to Scripture that every jot and every tittle is there for a purpose and is there for a reason. I believe this morning that the entire Word of God is inspired. It doesn't. Our Bible doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Every word from Genesis to Revelation, every jot and every tittle is with purpose. Now, some words that we read in God's Word are big words. Other words that we read in God's Word, they're little words. And if we're not careful, we can overlook some of the big words, and we can definitely overlook some of the little words if we're not careful when we read. And sometimes it's the little words that are so impactful in our life. Sometimes the little words are most powerful. For example, the word "but." We use this word in everyday life. When we're talking and conversing with one another, we'll say something and then we'll say but. But also in the Bible it's used often, and it's a connecting word. When we say the word but in conversation with one another, we'll say something and then we'll say but, and then we'll finish the sentence. And depending on what we say before the letter or the word but compared to what comes after the word but, carries the meaning of the line. For instance, if I say that I love you, but I don't like your attitude. Now, what I just said is totally demolished about I love you, because I'm putting a stipulation on my love for you. If I say I love you, but I don't like your attitude. Now, that sentence is in a very negative light. And here the word but waters down the I love you. And I know none of us have said that before in life, talking with one another. I love you, but, you know. But then notice this. If I change the terminology, I don't like your attitude, but I love you. That is a total change of meaning in that sentence. You could say, I love you, but I don't like you. And it totally demolishes the I love you part. You're emphasizing the attitude part. But then when you say, I don't like your attitude, but I love you, you are emphasizing the I love you part. And so in life, when we're talking, and more specifically in the Bible, there is a connecting word, and it's the word but. Now, the word but, when you put the word God beside it, is an absolute teetotal game changer for us. When you add the word God, the name God, to the little word but, it becomes infinitely more powerful and meaningful. And with that thought this morning, I want to just mention some things around that title, but God. But God. There are many places, and time will not permit, but there are many places in God's Word, from Genesis to Revelation, where you find that God is butting into our lives. There's the but God statement. And the Lord willing, tonight, we're going to talk about the word if, which is a conditional word. But God, many times in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, story upon story, and character upon character, you'll find out and you'll see those two words, but God. And you'll find out that God has a way of butting into things. I want to say this morning that I'm glad on November 19th, 2002, God butted into my life. That's the day that I got saved, and He showed up and He showed out, and He is continually conforming me these 16, 17 years later. But again, I want to just use these two words and visit a few places this morning where those two words are mentioned, but God. And let's see what we can glean from those two words and how they can impact our life and what God may have for us that's very meaningful and powerful. Number one, here in Ephesians, notice if you would in verse number 4, again, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, we see that the first area that God butts in is the area of salvation. Now, he says in verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love therewith he loved us. In verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved. I want to say this morning that there is the but God in connection with salvation. And now we have a choice of that. I know that. We have a choice in accepting Jesus. But there's just something about a life where that a person is living one way, or a person is accustomed to living a certain way or a certain fashion. A person may not have no church background, or a person may have church background, But there comes a point in time in life where the Lord is convicting about salvation. There comes a point in time where the Lord, He uses His messengers, He uses the local church to mention the words of God to them. And it has this budding of God aspect to it. He says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." Because of God's love, there's potential for a changed life. I believe this morning, as Revelation 3:20 says, that "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And Jesus not only is knocking at the door of His local church, but I believe Jesus is knocking on the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Amen. He's wanting to get in. He is wanting to butt in through salvation. And I welcome Him to do that in the service this morning. But because of God's love, there's potential for a changed life. Notice in verse number 1 of chapter 2, the changed life is affected in at least 4 ways. Or those who accept Him have at least a 4-fold change. Keep in mind, we're talking about things that are connected to this word "but." Number 1, when a person meets Jesus, when God butts in and they accept Christ, they have a change in position. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And you," speaking to the church, "and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." And so there's a change in position when God butts in and He becomes your Savior. Now the Bible says, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." I want to say that every person that is born again, your life before God butted in, you were a walking dead person to spiritual things. To God, you could not respond to God. I could not respond to God. I had no delight in His Word. Why? Because I didn't know God. I was dead spiritually. You were dead spiritually. And it says, "and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, the word "trespasses" has to do with just a willful act of disobedience. A willful act. You see the sign that says, "thou shalt not." No trespassing. It's the same idea. No trespassing. And then there's the laws of God, the "thou shalt nots," the Ten Commandments, and all of those things. Well, a trespass is when you've seen the sign and you sin anyway. It is a willful act of disobedience. And then He says, "and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses." Listen, we knew we were sinners and we sinned anyway. We've seen God's law and we sinned anyway. And so He says trespasses and sins, things that we have done that are offensive to God, and then acknowledging God and His law and sinning anyway. But you see, this is on the left side of when God butts in. This is the statement before comes the "but God" statement. Because back before we got saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were totally void of spiritual life. We were incapable of quickening ourselves. We couldn't change our life before God butted in. Listen, I couldn't change my life before God butted in. I tried to change my life. I tried to turn over. Man, I had so many leaves I've turned over, I could have a leaf pile. Try to turn over leaves and start new things. And I can remember that before I got saved, I went to Iron House Fitness. That's where I eventually got saved at. But all my friends were either dying or going to jail. Everybody was drugging. And I knew that, and now I know that it was God drawing me with cords of love to the place of repentance and salvation. But I knew I had to have some kind of change of direction. And so my brother knew the owner real good, Tony Hester. They call him Tater. I knew him real well because of my brother. And so he gave me a job and I started working there. And long story short, that didn't fulfill me. I mean, I tried to work an honest living and I tried to distance myself from certain people. you know, that had a negative impact on me still didn't change. Still void on the inside. Still didn't desire God's word. Still didn't desire to go to church. And still did things I shouldn't have done. But there came a day. But God. There was a day when my brother came in and he said, "Justin, do you know for sure that when you die, you go to heaven?" I said, "I don't know that, Chris." I said, "All I know is I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. You said you got saved and you said you went to church and there's a change in your life. You seem like when you come home at night," I was saying this, "that you are at peace with yourself. You say that, and I've noticed that, you know, things are different. You work an honest living and you're home, you're in the bed before the sun goes down, and I'm just coming in when the sun comes up." I said, "Listen, no." I said, "I don't know that I'm saved, and I want my life to change." And he told me, he said, "Well, do you want to get saved?" I said, "I want to get saved." I didn't know what fully getting saved meant, but I know I tried everything but Jesus. And I think in ministry sometimes we have a way, if we're not careful, of complicating when Jesus is dealing with somebody. Because I personally did not know fully what being saved was. I just knew that I was ready for change. And Jesus was being presented. My brother, he took off running to the gym. "Anybody got a Bible? Anybody got a Bible?" Of course nobody has a Bible. It's a gym. And so he was excited, but he found a Bible. He said, "Okay, Justin, you got to pray after me, or you can pray for yourself." Long story short, I pray for myself. "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that it was I've been trying to fulfill my own life, my own desires. But Lord, I need you, Jesus. You were buried on the third day. You rose again. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Change my life." And I want to say that on November 19th, almost 17 years ago, God butted in my life. And I was dead, you see. I was despondent of spiritual things. But because of Him butting in, I and you have been made alive. He jump-started us. He regenerated us. He fired us up. That's why when you come to the house of God, it don't have to be, "Well, pray the Lord. Pray. Oh, I'm tired." No. Listen, if you are truly born again and you know it, nothing to be confused or made hard to understand, you are alive more than you ever been alive. It's time to worship Him. He's alive from the grave because He arose. We're alive, walking in the newness of life. And we were dead. See, this morning when it comes to God butting in, He butts in the area of salvation and our position changes. We are no longer dead in trespasses and sins. But notice verse number 2. Not only there's a change in position when God butts in, but there's a change in path when God butts in. He says in verse number 2, "Wherein in time past," B.C., before Christ, "wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." He said there was a point in time where you was all caught up in the world system. The American dream is everything, was everything to you. I had to make the most money. And this isn't everybody's story. I had to make the most money. Big house, new car. You know, I got to care what everybody thinks about me and their opinions and all of that. I got to live up, meet up, catch up with the Joneses and all of that. And world system. According to this world, we used to walk. Part of that world system is every time that Friday rolls around, it's time to hit the bar scene. It's time to hit the club scene. Every time that there's a holiday around, it's time to drink and drug, and it's time to commercialize these holidays like the world has Christmas. It's all about gifts and bows and packages, and it's no longer about Christ. And listen, we need to keep Christ in Christmas. He is the very essence of Christmas. But in the time and day which we live in, it's all about this world system. It's all about the commercialized part of it. It's all about what feels good. It's all about instantaneous things taking place in our life. Well, the Bible says not only has our position changed, but our path has changed. He says in verse number 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, our position has changed. We've been quickened. Our path has changed. We used to walk according to this world. But I want to say this about that as well. God gives the believer a desire to not walk according to the world. But we can still fall back into that trap. Even as a believer, if we're not careful, if we feed the carnal man more than the spiritual man, we will find ourselves being entangled, Paul says to Timothy, in the affairs of this life. He goes on to Timothy and says, we're not to do that, being entangled with the affairs of this life, that we may please him who has called us to be a soldier. I want to say this morning that we're soldiers of the cross. And God changes our path, and yet there's a desire to want to walk on that new path because he places desires within us. But it does take obedience. It takes correspondence with him. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Whatever inclination you felt on the inside, a thought came to your head, you wanted to say it, say it. That's how things used to be. Well, somebody, you know, in traffic cuts me off, I'm just going to get out, shake my fist, and go fight them. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Hey, being influenced by self and the world and being influenced by the devil, and even a temptation now to do those things is still there. But back in the day, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil is working in the air. And listen, he feeds off of emotions. He feeds off of anger. He feeds off of fear. And he is steadily at work. So we see, though, as a believer, but God, the Bible says in verse 4, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. When God butts in, our path changes. But look in verse number 3. Our passions change. I said a minute ago a little bit about it, but look at verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our conduct in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Jude says that we were natural brute beasts. We hear about murders and we hear about, you know, attacks and home invasions and all of those things. Listen, that is a child by wrath. That's a natural brute beast. That is the old nature, a man that does not know God, unredeemed, acting out of a sinful nature. Natural brute beast. A child of wrath by nature. But this also refers to who we were before God butted in. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind. Before Jesus came in, anything we wanted to do, we just did it. There wasn't no conviction there. Unless it was a deliberate law of the land. Wasn't no conviction there. Back before I got saved, if I didn't read my Bible, I didn't care. Back before I got saved, before I started going to church, I didn't care. I had my own agenda. I had my own. It was my own depraved nature working. And in verse number 3, he says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Anything that I wanted to do, I did it. Speak my mind. Get in a fight. Steal from somebody. I did it. Drink. I did it. Drug. I did it. Anything. I did it. It came natural. Nothing was there to stop me. But God, who's rich in mercy. In verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. But God, if God had not entered into my life, and if he had not entered into your life, where would we be this morning? Where would we be? I can tell you where I would be. It really either one or two places, because that's the crowd I ran with. Jail or the graveyard. Because when you're like those saying goes, birds of a feather flock together. When you're doing a certain thing and you're with a certain group, eventually you're going to become like that certain group. But God, thanks be to God this morning that He butted in your life. Thanks be to God this morning that He butted in my life. We had a verse 1, change of position. Verse 2, change of path. Verse number 3, change of passions. Now we love God's Word. Now we love God's people. Now we want to be a help to somebody. Now it's a joy to serve Jesus. As before, He butted in, it was not. Look at verse number 6. Another thing that changes when God butts in concerning salvation is a change in places. Verse 6 says, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you one thing. There is a place in heaven for me. When God butted in, He had reserved, and I said yes to Jesus, it immediately reserved me a place at the table. But not only me. All of you that accepted Christ, and the moment He butted in your life after accepting Him, He gave you reservations at the table. The Bible says that in verse number 6, it hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. One of those places is in heaven. No more a child of wrath. No more on our way to hell. A devil's hell. Well, the worm dieth not. Listen, where there's gnashing of teeth, we are no longer going to hell, but we have that place in heaven, all because of God butting in. And so we see in the Word of God that an area that God butts in is the area of salvation, and He changes our position, our path, patience, and places. But I see a second area that God butts in, and it's a total game changer for our good. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 50 for a moment. Genesis chapter number 50. In verse number 20, we see the area of suffering. Suffering. Like I said in our introduction, we have the word but used. We use it in our language. I could say that I love you, but I don't like your attitude, Miss Christie. Y'all were shocked, wouldn't you? That would totally demolish the first, I love you. But if I say, I don't like your attitude, Miss Christie, but I love you. It totally changes, doesn't it? I mean, it carries a whole different meaning. And when you add God to that, and many times in the Bible you'll find, but God, but God, but God. There's a total change of events. This is a game changer. And the first thing that changed is salvation when God butted in. But then, what about suffering? Genesis 50, verse number 20. Y'all know the story? Listen to this in verse number 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. The area of suffering. Listen, God used the evilness of Joseph's brothers, get this, to position Joseph for influence. How about that? The suffering, I can say this, the suffering as a child of God that we're all going through on individual levels, different scales, God is positioning you. He's positioning you to be influential. You remember when Paul had the thorn in the flesh and he asked three times that God would remove it, and God finally said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I take pleasure in all these things. God positioned him to be influential. Because of that suffering, God had power with God. And listen, hey, listen to me, listen. If nobody likes suffering this morning, it's me. I don't like any kind of suffering. I don't like waking up with heartburn. I mean, you know, I got medicine for that. But I don't like any kind of suffering. But there is a suffering among the people of God that God is so providential. God is in such control that He allows suffering to position us that we might have power with Him and we might be used of Him. Now let's look at Joseph for a moment. God used the evilness of Joseph's brothers to position him in a very influential place. Chapter number 37, just follow along with me. I'll read them to you. Please listen. In chapter number 37, in verse number 22, we see that Joseph was left for dead in a pit. And it was a horrible pit, we know. And they applied animal blood to his coat of many colors. We know that. But the idea is he was left for dead in a pit. Bad time. Evilness from his family. And then in Genesis 37, verse number 28, not only was he thrown in a pit, left for dead, but he was sold into slavery to the Midianites. And then not only was he sold into slavery to the Midianites, but they went to Egypt. And then he was sold into slavery at Potiphar's house. Evilness. A time of suffering. And listen, this was the prized son. This was the son that had the coat of many colors. This was the son that felt the warmth of that coat. My daddy loves me. And I'm sure there may have been times where the thought occurred to Joseph, well, if my daddy loves me so much, why the pit? If my daddy loves me so much, why am I being sold into slavery? Many times in life, listen, we are human people. By nature, we still have an old nature, although we're redeemed. We battle, but there may be times where you're at a place in your life and you know God loves you. And you know you're saved by the grace of God if you're saved. But you have the pit experience. You have the slavery experience. And the thought may occur to you. Sometimes you may not say it. You may just think it. There's been times where I've said it. If you love me like you do, Lord, why this? Somebody said, I don't ever question God. Well, maybe I can get to your level of maturity one day. There's been times where I've hurt so bad in life. There's been times where God has literally withdrew His presence from, not that I'm not saved anymore, but He would align something in such a fashion and sit me out there in the middle of nowhere and take His hand off of me because He was training me. Why, God? Why? Let me tell you, someone else who asked why. The darling Son of God asked why. Why, Lord, hast Thou forsaken me? In all of His humanity, He asked why. Because of the weight of the sin that was buried upon Him from the world. Listen, there are times, if we don't say it, we'll think it. God, why the pit? Lord, why the mistreating? Why the slavery? Perhaps Joseph was thinking that. Perhaps he was thinking that. We're talking about the stuff on the other side of the word, but God. We're talking about when there's suffering involved and in Joseph, in chapter 37, verse 22, there was the pit. Chapter 37, verse 28, there was slavery. Verse 36, there was slavery in Potiphar's house. In chapter number 39, in verse number 12, Joseph was lied on. She eyed him. Let me say this. We got to be careful about eyes and wandering eyes. Amen. She eyed him. The eyes are the window to the soul, and you can tell if someone's available or not by the way they're looking at you. Doesn't matter nowadays if they're married or not. They'll cast eyes on you. And it's up to you what you're going to do with them eyes that's been cast on you. Potiphar cast eyes on Joseph. He was a goodly man. He was a young man. He was a strapping man, and he was a man now that's in position there at Potiphar's house. She cast eyes on him. She wanted him. He ran right out of his coat. Left it there. But he was lied on. Oh, he tried to sleep with me. Oh, he tried to lay with me. Oh, he tried to be with me. Suffering. And then in chapter number 39, in verse number 20, Joseph, he was cast into prison. So how about it, Joseph? How is your father treating you in life? How does it feel to be the all-star son How does it feel, Joseph, to be the one whom thy father loveth more than all the brethren? Well, Joseph was cast into a pit. Joseph was sold twice into slavery. He was lied on, and now he's in prison. But can I remind you of what our verse says? The Bible says again in verse number 20, he says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. I can't get it out as it is on the inside of me this morning. Listen, you are not suffering without purpose. Whatever it is, God is such a merciful God. Even if it's something that we did, we shouldn't have done, God has a way of working it all together for good. Why? Because you belong to Him. We are His children. He will spank us if He has to. He will grab His rod and He'll pull us back if He has to. Whatever He has to do, we belong to Him. If we went home this afternoon and she did something I didn't like, does that mean that I'm just going to turn my back on her, discipline her, turn my back on her, and totally take my eyes off of her future, my plans, our plans as parents we have for her, love for her? Does that mean she might not get another meal because of a disobedience that she might do even today? Lord, hope not. But if she does that mean she's not going to eat lunch? Does that not mean she's not going to get a ride to school on Monday? Does that not mean she's going to have a full lunch account and eat lunch every day? Does that not mean Daddy might twice this week take her to Target and get a new pair of pants? Huh? No, her disobedience has nothing to do with that because she's my child. And listen, whether it's something that we did do, God has a way of working our suffering for good. Whether it's something that we didn't do, and providentially, God has ushered some thorns into our life, and we're suffering some bad news, cancer, something along those lines. But God has a way this morning of butting into our lives, even during the times of suffering. Let me say this morning. In verse number 21 of Genesis 50, suffering made Joseph like Jesus. Look at verse number 50. I said 51. Look at verse 21. No, I said 21. Now therefore, now these are the words of Joseph. But as for me, you thought evil against me, but God meant it good. Bring a pass as is this day to save much people alive. Verse 21. Now therefore, fear ye not. Joseph had opportunity and influence to avenge. He could have took his brother's heads off. Or he could have just played on their fear. He could have thought, well, I ain't going to hurt them. I'm going to make them think I'm going to hurt them. You know what Joseph said? Fear not. Fear not. You know what that suffering did to Joseph? Made him more like Christ. Yeah. You know what suffering does to us? In God's own way, in God's own time, in the end result, as the scripture says in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 29, listen, to be conformed to the image of God. He has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of God's Son, and He uses suffering to do that. Joseph said, fear ye not. I'm sure they were like, they found out, they're like, fear ye not. It brought peace. Do you know what we're called to be? Peacemakers. We're called to, blessed are the peacemakers. That's what the Bible says. We're peacemakers. That is, listen, those are marks of the believer. Being like Jesus is a result of suffering. He says in verse number 21, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you. Man, that's being like God. He said, I will nourish you and your little ones. Tell them nieces and nephews to come on over. Tell them to sit in my lap and come on over, nieces and nephews. Let me tell you how great your daddy Reuben was. Let me tell you how great your other brothers were. No, they weren't. But you see, not only was Joseph influencing his brothers, he was influencing the kids. We have kids in here this morning that are being influenced greatly. Thank God for the ministry of Calvary's Children's Home. And thank God for everybody here who loves kids. There's not one person here that I know that don't love kids. But listen, we are an encouragement. We are an influence to not only adults, but kids. And so that gives us a charge to bury some hatchets we may have between adults. Because it can influence kids if we don't. Does that make sense? Being more like Jesus, suffering. And then he said, "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Can I tell you one mark of true Christianity? Someone who has been through the fire, someone who wants to walk with Jesus, is that not only they will speak kindly to your face, but they'll speak kindly behind your back. That's a mark of genuine Christianity. You go through enough fires, you'll speak kindly, won't you, church? You go through enough fires, you'll learn to allow the Lord to have the vengeance, and you just love them. You go through enough times of suffering, and God will burn out every ounce of ego you may have, I may have. God has a way of burning places of bondages through the fire. The three Hebrews were in the fire. They went in bound. They came out free. And that's what happens with the Lord when He sends us through suffering. It refines our faith. It relieves us of places of bondages. And the end result is we're to come out sweet and gentle, meek and lowly, exhibiting our Lord. Not only this morning, sufferings that take place in our life, the sufferings that took place in Joseph's life, sufferings made Joseph more like Jesus. But look in chapter 49, verse 22, the sufferings made Joseph fruitful. I said it, but I'll read it now. Chapter 49, verse 22. Joseph, listen to this, words about Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow, look at this, abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. How about that? Suffering. God has a way of making strong our hands. David says he is training me how to fight. He teaches my fingers to war, my hands to battle. God has a way of during times of suffering to strengthen our hands. We don't know how we're going to make it. We don't know how it's going to end up. We don't know if there's any open doors. We have no strength for the day. But we know we can't give up. We know we can't quit. We know we're an influence to people. You and I are thinking these things during times of suffering. So what happens? You find as you take that other step when you thought you couldn't, you take another step. I can't make it. There's no way. But somehow something is picking your legs up. Something is picking your legs up. David says, "Mercy and grace shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I want to tell you that it's God's mercy and God's grace that picks our legs up every step we take. We don't think we can go another step. Here comes mercy, son. I love you, son. I forgive you. Lord, I can't take another step. Well, here goes grace, son. I love you, Lord. I forgive you. And then we'll find ourselves a year down the road when we thought we couldn't make it. We'll turn back and we'll say, "Glory be to God. By His grace, He saved me. By His grace, He sustained me. It's mercy and it's grace that's followed me thus far." Amen. I tell you what, it's a game changer when God butts in. And I want to say this morning that God butts into our suffering. God has a way, even when the evils of this world come upon us. God, Joseph said, it was said of Joseph, he was a fruitful bough. In verse number 20 of Genesis 50, "But as for you, ye thought it evil against me. God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." And so we see a couple of things already when God butts in. Let me mention one more thing. Not only we see in the pages of God's Word that He butts in the area of salvation. God, in the pages of His Word, He butts in the area of suffering. But then God butts in this other area, and that is the area of service. Service. That's found in 1 Chronicles 28 for a moment. Turn to 1 Chronicles 28 in verse number 2. 1 Chronicles 28, verse number 2. I want you to notice, King David wanted to build God's house, but God had other plans for that service. 1 Chronicles 28, notice if you would in verse number 2. Then David, the king, stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building." David said, "I'm king." And as king, he said, "I had in my heart." David had the heart, wanted to build the house of the Lord. But you see, there's a way that God does things in His economy that we find really sometimes amusing. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:8, I'll just throw it to you, throw it out there to you, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And on the surface, go ahead, do all this in your heart, David. Build that house. And so he says in verse number 2, "Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and have made ready for the building.'" Look at verse number 3. "But God." Now God is butting in. "But God said unto me, 'Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel and of all my sons. For the Lord hath given me many sons. He hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel." God chose Solomon. David had it in his heart to build. Let me say this, we have to be careful what we say comes from God, because we got to make sure we check in with God, because there may be things that God has other plans for. David at one time, he said, "I want to build the Lord a house," but yet Solomon is the one that God chose. And now God is showing David and showing Solomon that there's a thing when it comes to preconceived ideas and how we think things should go as humans, as sticklers, as creations of God and creatures of habit. We think, listen, we have our comfort zones, don't we? We have our comfort zones and we have our own experiences. But you see, God is a God who brings us to new experiences, to greater heights. And sometimes in the service of the Lord, God, He raises up people and He raises different people up. He changes people. And here He went from David to Solomon. Of course, it was Solomon the whole time. I want to say this about the service of the Lord, that David desired to build God's house, but God had other plans. Our preconceived ideas, let us never forget to check in with God. Because you see, God butted in. And because He did, God's house got built. It was all God's plan. It was all God's choosing. Solomon didn't choose himself. David didn't choose himself to be king. They both were chosen. So when God butts in, it's a game changer. Everything changes when God is in the equation. And we don't limit Him. That's another whole aspect, is not limiting God. Nonetheless, God is a game changer. And he changed the atmosphere. He changed the dynamics of the place of God. He did that because he chose Solomon. And again, many times we have preconceived ideas. We have pre-plans. We have things in life at home, at work, at school. And we've done it for so long at these different areas that we know what's coming next. And we can predict what's coming next many times. But God. And really to only know if God is doing something and changing something is to get along with God. So you can hear his voice. Again, Isaiah 55 in verse number 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Again, in verse number 3, 1 Chronicles 28, "But God said unto me," he chose Solomon. This totally changed everything, but it was what God was in. We see the service. We see service. God butts in service. God butts in suffering. God butts in salvation. And as we get ready to sing in just a moment, the last word will be standing. Let me just read it to you. In the book of Acts, chapter number 13. Notice what the book of Acts says here. In verse number 13 and verse 30, verse 29. "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him," listen, "they took him down from the tree," our Lord, "and laid him in a sepulcher." Verse number 30 says, "But God raised him from the dead." I said all that this morning to say this. See that rope? Some of you feel like you're at the end of that rope. But God. I'm not preaching about something I just read. Listen, I've lived it, and I'm living it now. You're living it. Are you at the end of your rope this morning? There's somebody you will always bump into when you're at the end of your rope, and that is our Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you for who you are. I pray that you'll take your word, the truths that were presented this morning, apply them to the hearts that need it the most, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come and pray, this is the time to get your help. You come.
Just as I am, without one.
Anybody this morning? Don't be ashamed or bashful. Come and butt into God this morning. We're going to sing another verse. It's the Lord's time this morning. You come.
Just as I am and waiting.
Anybody? Appreciate you listening this morning, and appreciate good preaching liberty. And I do want to remind our deacons, I know it's past the hour sometime, but let's just about 10 minutes if I could see you, and we'll run through a few things about the ordination. That would be great. Do that, Brother Ceylon's class. And remember, 4 o'clock CLU, 4 o'clock Brotherhood, 5 o'clock choir practice, and we'll try to fit in lunch here in a minute. How about that? All right. Well, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. And please excuse me as we meet in our meeting. And Lord willing, we'll see you this afternoon. Brother Allen, you want to close out?
Father, we love you and praise you. And thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the but God moments of our life, for the times that you butted in. Lord, thank you most of all for salvation, Lord, that is full and free. Lord, thank you for the price that was paid at Calvary. Lord, thank you again for the message and the messenger. Lord, pray that you'd continue, Lord, to speak to our hearts about it. Lord, now I pray that you'd be with us as we